Welcome to the Lead Defend Podcast, a show designed to help you grow in faith and leadership as you navigate the stages of young adulthood. We address important faith topics and provide practical life tips, helping you build up your faith as you engage a changing culture. Now, here are your hosts.
Hey, this is Ryan and Brock back with Lead Defend Podcast. We got Shane Pruitt and Catherine Renfro with us, both from North American Mission Board. Catherine, you work doing women's evangelism. And Shane has been the National Next Generation Director. Is it Evangelism Director or just Director?
Yeah, just National Next Gen Director.
You direct everything that has anything to do with Next Generation.
Or nothing.
That's fun. Yeah. Hey, there's been a word that's on people's minds, hearts, that's really been in the news the last year, more so than a while before, and it's revival. Revival and spiritual awakening. We've heard stories of revival. We've heard outbreaks of revival. Why is it that that word is in the news more recently?
Yeah. You know, at our team, especially I think within our team at NAM, probably about 3 years ago, you know, when we would talk about Generation Z and when we were in churches or events or helping equip leaders to reach the next generation, we'd use the term Generation Z at that time just because that's what people understood.
Sure.
And now you got the Alpha generation coming up. But within our team at NAM, I'd say, for lack of a better term, behind closed doors, we started referring to them as the revival generation. Mm. And at that time, it was a prayer request. God, may a spiritual awakening spark. God, let revival take place in this generation. May this be a generation that seeks you to and knows you and to make you known. And then we've seen that prayer request start being answered. Now, hopefully, we're starting to see sparks of it across the nation that we're praying would turn into an inferno, you know? Mm-hmm. Yeah. And when we say revival, you know, I think there's a lot of things that come to mind with revival. Usually it's, I feel like when we talk about revival, sometimes it's pointing fingers at other people going, our nation needs revival. Yeah. And typically what we're saying is they need revival.
Yeah.
But really, I believe this, our nation won't see revival until the churches in our nation see revival. And our churches won't see revival until individuals in the church see revival. And so revival always comes from God, but it comes through his people, and God awakens his people. And when we say revival, I don't mean just tears and crying and emotionalism and feelings. Revival is more than a feeling.
Yeah.
I believe it's an awakening to the calling of God on your life. And when God's people get serious about knowing him and making him known, then guess what happens? Lives change, churches change, campuses change, communities change, nations change. And so when we say revival, that's what we mean. Be revived to the calling that God has on your life. Get serious about it and actually go do it. You know?
And revival is not often monolithic. I mean, usually when revival happens, it transcends just a generation or a segment of people.
Yep.
But talk to us about how students often play a role in revival.
Yeah. You know, and when you look throughout history, there's always some kind of common factors in revival, you know, right? You got, I always say, you know, a spiritual awakening always starts with a prayer awakening. Mm-hmm. Usually it starts with a prayer movement.
Yeah.
And it usually starts with young people, you know, young adults. And it always involves repentance and holiness.
Yeah.
And so I think when young people are getting serious about the Lord and they have the passion, the excitement.
Yeah.
I always say this, they're dumb enough to believe God and that God's going to do what he says he's going to
do.
Yeah, and they're actually going to do it and they're fearless and, man, they just go for it. And then I think there's a striving for repentance and holiness. And again, I think that's when revival is truly taking place, is where we're not trying to manufacture some feelings or emotions, but really it's out of the overflow of this intimacy with the Lord. I feel like when people get head over heels in love with Jesus, then everything else falls into place. They can't help but talk about him, and then they don't want to sin in a way that breaks his heart because they love him more than anything.
You know, Catherine, you were talking to us earlier about a new kind of focus that NAM is trying to look at of how do we equip women for more evangelism. Thinking of revival as even the North American Mission Board has the Annie Armstrong Easter offering, our church history is full of women, as much as young people, that women have also been used in great ways for revival. What are some things that you're trying to do as you're focusing this emphasis on evangelism and even revival with young ladies, and what are you seeing?
Yeah, so a couple of different things. One, I think about the fact that the body of Christ, made up of many parts, every part has a different role to play. And ladies, young girls, they are a large part of the body of Christ. Absolutely. And they've been gifted by God in specific ways. Yeah. They've also been called by God to be a part of what he's doing to change lives and eternities. And so what we want people to see, specifically young girls, is not only can God use you, but he will use you. Wow. He wants to use you. And I mean, we could look at example after example of ladies in scripture, you know, from Anna, the prophetess, Mary Magdalene. I think about the lady with the blood issue that we don't talk about very often, but you know, after she was healed by Jesus in Luke chapter 8, it says, when Jesus asked, "Who touched me?" It says, in the presence of all people, she told what she had done and how Jesus had healed her. Yeah. Like, you see, like, this is a lady who's been changed by Jesus, and Jesus is using her to proclaim what he's done in her life in the presence of all people, you know? And so for women to see, like, man, God's got a role for you to play.
Yeah.
And we just need to be willing to say yes. We want to encourage them in that. We want to equip them to share the hope of the gospel. We want to give opportunities. Mm-hmm. We don't want to just talk about it, but we want to actually give opportunities for young girls to serve and to lead and to figure out what is God calling you to do and be a part of it. So.
Catherine, you got students who are passionate about Jesus and who really want to see their friends come to know Christ. So what are the steps you would say, hey, this is the next thing for you?
Yeah, absolutely. So when I talk to students, there are two words that come to mind often just listening to them. It's purpose and influence. Students want to live a life of purpose and they want to have influence. Now, what is important is where are they looking for their purpose and what kind of influence are they actually having, you know? And so we're seeing students who want to live out their purpose of not only knowing Jesus, but making him known. And then what we know is they're going to maximize, they're going to leverage their life for maximum influence as they're doing things today that are actually going to matter for eternity.
Yeah.
So we want to equip students and young girls specifically to do that, to do things that are going to matter for eternity. So what does that look like? Well, one, I think it is living out their purpose. It all starts there. Mm-hmm. What if everything we did were driven by the fact that we're called to make Jesus known?
Yeah.
Students don't just go to school to make good grades, but they go to school to interact with other students with the intentions of building relationships and getting to share the hope of the gospel. Mm-hmm. They don't just play sports just because it's the thing to do, but they play sports with the intentions of getting to build relationships with their teammates and share the hope of the gospel. So if we can help them kind of refocus on why they're doing what they're doing, I think that's step one. Also, teaching students to see people the way Jesus sees people, to care about people the way Jesus cares about people. Students know they want to be known. They want people to care for them and to see that they could be a person that sees someone else and cares about someone else the way Jesus does. The impact and the influence could be eternal, you know? So seeing people, living out their purpose, and then just taking opportunities to bring the name of Jesus into conversations.
So as you're encouraging people and students that direction, as you're discipling them with that expectation, what are some of the signs of revival as you guys are, you know, you're traveling all over the place, you're getting to hear these stories and you're getting to be a part of these things. What are y'all seeing?
Yeah, man. You know, and, you know, I was just thinking about, you know, talking about women and being involved. And it just reminded me of, you know, wrote this Bible study with Lifeway called Revival Generation. And
it's out now.
It's out now.
They can find it. They can buy it right now. Lifeway.com, Amazon.
Yeah. And it kind of goes back to what you're saying, but I was thinking of Henrietta Mears. Henrietta Mears was a faithful Sunday school teacher. I don't know if y'all know her, just a sweet older lady who taught the Bible to a Sunday school class of kids. And guess who all she taught in her Sunday school? Billy Graham, Bill Bright, you know? Bill Bright, Ronald Reagan's pastor, Frederick Bruner, who wrote commentaries. Well, all came from this lady's Sunday school class that was just faithful to pour into the next generation. And so we actually write about her in one of the sessions of Revival Generation. But this really goes to answering your question. It's like, how do we know God's moving and revival's taking place or a spiritual awakening? Yeah, and so I think there's words associated with it like repentance.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
When repentance is taking place, holiness, when there's a desire for holiness, and you see lives change. In fact, during the Welsh Revival, when the Welsh Revival broke out, all these coal miners started getting saved. And then they had to go back and retrain all their donkeys. This is one of the best stories from the Welsh Revival. They had to go back and retrain all their donkeys because all the commands they would use for their donkeys of bringing out coal out of the coal mines, the commands were cuss words. And they once they got saved and started walking with Jesus, they no longer wanted to talk like that. So they had to retrain all the donkeys, you know, because they don't want to cuss at their donkeys anymore.
And that's
you know?
The thing, when God revives a heart, it changes attitude.
It does, yeah. So I would say, you know, so that's even the direction of Revival Generation is there's eight sessions, and each session focuses on a word associated with revival. Repentance, holiness, surrender, obedience, faith. And I kind of joke that sadly, it's a lot of words that in a lot of churches today, you'll hear the word love 1,000 times before you hear one of these words one time.
Wow.
So you go, how do we know God's moving in our midst? How do we know it's real revival? Again, there may be tears involved.
Yeah.
There may be lifting of hands. Yeah. There may be, you know, excitement and amening and praising the Lord. And it may be outward expressions of worship. But I say, that's all great.
Right.
But are people walking in holiness, repentance, sharing the gospel with their lost friends and family?
Yeah.
Is there full surrender and obedience? Yeah. When you see that taking place amongst a group of people, you're like, God's at work in a supernatural way. Yeah.
If I could add anything to that, I would also say that that revival is not something that's prompted by humans.
That's right.
It's prompted by the power of the Holy Spirit that's at work in our lives and our hearts, and it just, you know, then overflows. And yes, people see it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And maybe they're curious as to what's happening.
Yeah.
But that's when God can do a work in that person's life who's curious and wondering what's taking place.
And I love what G. Campbell Morgan said just that, Catherine. I love G. Campbell Morgan said, we can't make the wind of the Spirit blow, but we can prepare ourselves in case he does. So I think part of that is just seeking the Lord and spiritual disciplines and intimacy and going, revival comes from God, but through His people, and all we can do is prepare ourselves
in case
God moves.
I've been using this phrase, it's human sought, but it's God brought. Like we can
seek
it, you know, like we can seek after it, but God's the one who brings it.
Uh-huh.
But there's something about this generation. Why is it that they're seeking revival?
Yeah.
Because we never, I'm a millennial. We were not referred to as a revival generation. Maybe there were hopes and aspirations for that, but we didn't see what God's doing in this generation 10, 15, 20 years ago.
Sure.
And so what is different about this generation?
I love it. You know, I go back to the pandemic. And here's what I believe is that with young people, teenagers, college students that went through the pandemic, the pandemic didn't necessarily create new problems. It just poured gasoline on the problems that were already there for a generation, right? So they come through the pandemic, and they realize very quickly the world can change in a day.
Yes.
They also realize the world is broken. Mm-hmm. They realize they're broken, so they're looking for hope. They're looking for answers. They're looking for truth. And when they can't find it, that's why anxiety rates go up, depression rates go up, suicide rates go up, because they're looking for answers, hope, and truth. Mm-hmm. The world can't provide it. So then they go, what else is there?
Sure.
That's why it's a great opportunity for us as churches, on-campus ministries, to go, listen, the hope you're looking for, the answer you're looking for, the truth you're looking for has a name, and that name is Jesus.
Right. Mm-hmm.
And so I believe it's truly a generation that's ripe for harvest. And so I've been saying this for a while, and it's true. Personally, at the events I've preached at, the things I've been a part of, I've seen more young people, young adults, college students, and teenagers make professions of faith in Jesus for salvation in the last 4 years than probably the previous 20 years of ministry combined. And then I just pulled these up because I love it. So I don't know if y'all have seen this. These are brand new. The American Bible Society and Barna Research Group came together, and here's what they just put out about Gen Z. Check this out. Now, this isn't even Gen Z Christians. This is all Gen Z.
Yeah.
Listen to this. 81% of Gen Z say they're curious about the Bible.
Wow.
That's not even Christians. That's all Gen Z. 64% of Gen Z said they wish they read their Bible more.
Wow.
That means they're unbelievers that have a Bible, and they wish they read it more, or they want to get a Bible. And then 60% of Gen Z said they wanted to know more about Jesus. So you have a whole generation, according to Business Insider now, there's 72 million Gen Zers in the United States, largest living generation. And those 72 million are like, tell us about Jesus. Teach us how to read our Bible. we're curious about the Bible. So as the church, if we don't capitalize on that, I think we're going to owe a whole generation an apology because they're saying, please come to us and tell us.
So they're yearning for the Bible. But also, we know Generation Z is higher anxiety rates, higher depression rates. Thoughts of suicide.
Yep.
And so there is a desperate, desperate need. Catherine, how are you seeing some of this in this generation?
Yeah, it's interesting. I think about millennials, my generation. I didn't get a cell phone until I was in high school.
That's right.
So it still didn't have easy texting.
It was T9 back then.
Did you have a razor phone, Catherine? Was it a flip phone?
I had the flip phone.
Or the Nokia? Did you play Snake on it?
We were trying to see who could get text written the fastest.
Yeah, that's right.
They only had 50 of them.
Yeah, that's right.
The 10 cents.
Free nights and weekends to call, though.
Yeah, that's right. Unlimited texting was a game changer, you know? But I didn't grow up just being stuck to my phone, you know? What we see is Gen Z, like, all they know is technology and phones and social media. Yeah. And you've heard this 1,000 times. We are more connected today than we've ever been. And yet we're more lonely today.
We're more isolated today.
The depression you're talking about, the anxiety, all of these things, like, that's where we find ourselves. And students are struggling with this. Now, I'm grateful that depression and suicide and anxiety, they're talked about now.
Yeah, that's right.
They weren't talked about when when I was growing up. My brother actually took his life in 2008. And at that point, I didn't know anybody who had walked that journey. And it wasn't something we talked about, you know. Students today at least see this is being talked about. If I'm struggling with it, I can talk with someone. And what an opportunity the church has to say, there is hope. Like, you don't have to be enslaved to this, but Jesus offers freedom, you know, and we get to point them to Christ. And so it's a different world when it comes to technology and social media and all the stuff, but the opportunity is so great. The need for the gospel is great, but the opportunity to share the hope of the gospel is even greater.
Yeah. And also, I think there's another thing going on, too, in culture that as older people, it kind of scares us, for a lack of a term, but I think it's a benefit to the gospel, too, is that as culture is becoming more aggressive towards Christianity, on some level, I think with young people, because young people, especially today, they don't trust cultural narratives, and they're a little bit rebellious.
We were all rebellious when we were young, right?
Yeah.
And so when you got young people today that, you know, whether they're on their phones or they're in the public school system or a secular university campus, for lack of a better term, and they're hearing Christianity being made fun of, banged on, like, hey, stay away from Jesus, stay away from the church, stay away from Christianity. Young people don't trust cultural narratives right now. Yeah. Mm-hmm. So when they hear that, it almost makes them curious, like, go, maybe I should check that out.
Don't
you know
what I mean? That's a good word.
Yeah,
don't do that, and it makes them want to do it.
Yeah, maybe I should check that out. And then when we were all like that when we were young, you want to be a little rebellious towards cultural norms, you know? And think about it. There's not a greater rebellion today for a college student and a teenager to go, I'm a follower of Jesus.
Yeah.
I believe the Bible is authoritative.
Yeah.
I believe marriage is between a man and a woman. I believe God determines sex and gender.
Right.
If you believe that as a young person, there's not anything more rebellious than that, you know, as a young person in culture today. So I feel like, and we've seen that all throughout history, the more the church is pushed in on, the more the church thrives.
Yeah.
When the church is kind of left alone, that's when we're usually not at our best because we turn inward and fight with each other. Yeah. So I almost feel like the more the church is being pressed in on, attacked, the more it thrives.
Yeah.
And I think young people are, it's making young people curious about the church and the Bible.
Yeah.
You know?
You've talked about distrust, and, and that is pervasive in society right now. But there's a lot of distrust of the church. And so how can students navigate this knowing it's in the headlines every weekend?
Yeah.
The church has done something dumb or there's
history patterns of abuse
and a leader has fallen.
Yeah.
And so, yes, these students want to be countercultural, but they also don't want to commit themselves to something that's broken.
Absolutely.
And so what is the tension there?
I've said this recently, and I believe it, is that when you still look at statistics today, anywhere between 80 to 90% of Americans still believe in God or a higher power, but less than half of Americans trust the local church.
Mm. Mm.
So I was like, God doesn't have the PR problem. We do.
Yeah.
Wow.
Right?
Wow.
So
yeah.
So when you think of young people specifically, because that's what we're talking about, college students, teenagers, and you guys know that. You're on the front lines of that, Ryan. You're on the campus. You know, you guys are on the campus all the time. Is we just need to be honest about it and be authentic about it and be transparent. Go, you're right. That's not okay. You're right. We got to get better. You're right. The church is full of hypocrites. And you know what? There's always room for one more. Why don't you come join? You know what I mean? Like, I think when we kind of dig our heels in and we get offended and defensive, then that's when it looks like we're trying to hide things, or that's when it looks like we're being oblivious to what's going on. I feel like the more we're honest about it, transparent, accountable, hold people accountable within the church, the more attractive that will be to a whole generation.
So, so that's kind of from the leader side. What do we tell them? You guys are interacting with young people all the time. Yeah. You get a student who's like, yeah, I like God. I love having my little Bible study, but, but I just don't know that church is for me.
Yeah.
What appeal do you make to them on behalf of the church to say yes, all of those things, but also this is still why you should be a part?
Yeah, we need the body of Christ.
That's
you know, we need each other. And God didn't call us to run this race alone or in isolation. In fact, we can't do that. And so I always go back to what the Bible says, let us not give up meeting together. Like, will we mess up? Yes. Yeah. Will we represent Jesus not well? Yes. But, man, we need each other. We need people to come alongside us, to pray with us and for us, to encourage us. We need the word. And so helping students see that, is the church perfect? No. But the God we serve is perfect, and that's who we're striving after. That's who we're pursuing. If we can help students come in and do that alongside of other people,
Yeah, and I think it depends on the student you're talking to. If it's a, it's an if it's a non-believing student, I think it's always pushing towards the gospel. If it's a student that goes, man, I do love Jesus. I've been bought by the blood of Jesus. I have the Holy Spirit of God, but I'm really turned off of the local church. I think it's reminding them that the church is not something they're on the outside of evaluating. They are the church.
Yeah, that's helpful.
So we go, hey, listen, as you're banging on the church, now that's your family.
Yeah. Yeah.
You're a part of that. Mm. Yeah. So you don't get the throw rocks, you got to be a part of the building above it, you know, and so and reminding
Catherine, what you quoted was Hebrews 10, you know, don't forsake the gathering.
That's right.
It says so that you can encourage each other.
Yeah, like, that's right.
We got to be there to encourage one another. And, and I think it's just a mindset shift. Like, we got to show up because, man, it's a difficult world for Christians to live in. So we got to be there for one another.
Yeah.
A final word to this generation, this revival generation, y'all have called them. What would you say, a final charge?
Yeah, you know, I think all the time, you know, we ask ourselves, whether if you're a young person, you're like, how do I reach my friends with the gospel? How do I reach my peers with the gospel? If you're a leader in the church, you're going, hey, how do we reach the next generation? And I feel like everybody's always like, what's the secret sauce? And it's just a reminder. I've been saying this for years, and I really believe it. There's no secret sauce, but there is the Holy Spirit, and trust that. Be Spirit-led. The Holy Spirit in you knows how to reach people more than you do.
Yeah.
The Holy Spirit in you loves your lost friends and your family more than you do. The Holy Spirit in you knows how to reach the next generation even more than you do. So be Spirit-led. Number two, stick to the Word of God. The Bible is always relevant. Hebrews 4:12, when it's describing the Bible, everything is always present tense talk. You know, the living, it's living, sharper, active. Why is it present tense talk, not past tense? Because the Bible is always relevant. It's not a history book. It's a living book. So stick to the Word of God. And then number three, open your mouth and share the gospel, knowing this, the same gospel that has worked for 2,000 years still works today.
That's good.
I just... piggybacking on that just a little bit, I would just challenge students just to pray.
Yeah, I love that.
Just to draw into God, but also see what we talked about earlier. Not only can God use them, but He will use them. And so just to be praying for opportunities. I think about what David prays in Psalm chapter 5. He says, in the morning, Lord, you hear my voice. In the morning, I lay my request before you. And he says, I wait in expectation. So if we could challenge students, one, to know, hey, God wants to use them, but two, pray for those opportunities. Lay your request before Him and wait expectantly, knowing He hears our prayers, but He responds to those. You know, the harvest is plentiful, the laborers are few, and they get to be a part of what God is doing in the lives of other students, in the lives of family members, in the lives of neighbors, whoever it may be, to change lives and eternities. There's nothing greater than being a part of that. And so if students get a taste of that, there's nothing else they want to be a part of. So students, pray for those opportunities.
That's so cool. And then Jesus is, you know, He tells us, pray, for more harvesters to go into the harvest. And so when we enter into the harvest, we become answers to the prayer that Jesus prayed to send out more harvesters.
That's good.
Love that.
Hey, real quick, how could a person find and follow you? Yeah. I mean, because this has been gold. I'm fired up about it. Shane, how can a person find and follow you?
Yeah, hey, on Instagram, X, formerly known as Twitter. That still feels weird saying X. It's just at Shane_Pruitt78. All of our resources, jensen.org, that's jensen.org. It's just a hub of all kind of resources available for you, whether it's coaching, resources, tools, curriculum, all that can be found at jensen.org.
Got a great podcast.
Next Gen on Mission. Yeah, yeah. Or the Jensen podcast that we've renamed it. It was Next Gen on Mission. Now it's Jensen podcast. Yep.
Yeah, and I'm on X, Instagram, Facebook as well, at Catherine Renfro, and resources, jensen.org.
Awesome.
Yeah.
Well, this has been Lead Defend. Lead Defend is always around the corner. You can find out more information at leaddefend.org.
That's it for this episode of Lead Defend. To hear more episodes from the Lead Defend crew, visit absc.org/podcasts. If you liked what you heard, rate and review us on your favorite podcast listening site. Want to learn more information about the next Lead Defend conference? Visit leaddefend.org.